Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians, Philippians chapter number 1, Philippians 1. Paul is writing from Roman house arrest. He's writing in this place of imprisonment about the joy of the Lord. What a theme to present in a difficult time in his life. He's moved by the Spirit of God to pen a book that basically says this: choose joy. That's our series theme on choosing joy. And you and I can choose joy. We can choose joy in the circumstances of life by focusing first with singleness of mind, chapter number 1, with singleness of mind on the fellowship of the gospel. Paul says, I'm praying for you, you're praying for me. It brings me joy when I think about those that are saved and the saints that will spend eternity together in heaven someday. He said that I can choose joy, as he goes on, in the furtherance of the gospel. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what others say about me. As long as Christ is glorified and magnified, as long as Christ is preached, I will rejoice, he says. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to choose joy in the furtherance of the gospel. That's a focus of your mind. And now he moves to the faith of the gospel, choosing joy in the faith of the gospel. Paul has been writing up to this point almost as an autobiography personally as he shares his testimony. Now he shares practically as he applies his present situation to their choice in their life. He found your place. Let me ask you to stand if you're able out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 1 verse number 27. He says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. I want to draw your attention to a phrase found in verse 27. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want to preach for the next few moments with the Lord's help on the subject of striving together. May we be a church that's striving together for the faith of the gospel. May you have a family that strives together for the faith of the gospel. May you and I live lives with others striving together, not against, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. We come today asking for your anointing upon me, upon this place, upon each person that's here today to preach and to hear your word. I ask again for your filling. Lord, I ask again for you to work and do what I cannot. Lord, with this message today, I pray that you would stir up a work in some saints of God to bring about a revival of hope and unity, and a desire to strive for the gospel. And may we know how to choose joy. May we find joy in serving you and sharing you and standing for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Are you striving together? Are we striving together for the faith of the gospel? Striving against one another will bring heartache and pain. Striving together will bring true happiness and joy. It reminds me of a Peanuts cartoon that I saw at one time of Lucy and Linus. And Lucy walked into the living room and Linus was there watching television. And she said, Linus, change that channel right now. And my kids would say, give me that remote. And then they would fight about it. So they do that often. But Linus looked at her and he stood up for himself. Rarely. And he said, what makes you think that you can walk in here and just take over? And Lucy said, well, these five fingers. Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this, they form a single unit and a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus changed the channel. He looked at his fingers and said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" You know, it's better to organize together than to agonize against. The theme today is striving together. Find joy in serving together, striving together, standing for Jesus. Henry Ford once said, "Coming together is the beginning of something. Keeping it together is a process of that thing, and working together is success of that thing." Striving together is success. When God's people stand together, serve together, and strive together for the faith of the gospel, great things are done for the honor and glory of God, and we experience joy. Are you striving together for the faith of the gospel? How do we do that? Look at the text, verse number 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." To strive together for the faith is, first of all, to walk consistently. Look at that word "only." The first word "only" is in the emphatic position there in English and also in the original text. It stands as a summary statement. Only let. Here's the bottom line for every believer. Let your behavior match what you believe. Is it too much for Christians to act like Christians, to act like Christ? Let your conversation. Now, when we see that word "conversation," we think of speaking. Some say manner of life, but it's more than that. It speaks of our conduct. What we say and what we do, specifically as a citizen. The word in the text is politeuomai, when we're hearing our word "politic." It means to be a citizen of a polis or city. Paul is appealing to them on the basis of their heavenly citizenship. How many understand this morning? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're citizens of a heavenly city, of another country. Hey, I love being an American, but listen, I live for heaven. Do you understand? Today, Philippi dealt with that conflict. They were a proud Roman city state. Those born in Philippi were afforded special status as citizens of Rome. Philippi, there in Macedonia and Greece, was not like Judea or other provinces where they were oppressed and there was constant rebellion against the Romans. No, these Philippians were given special status. And if you were born in Philippi, you had a special citizenship. The Philippians were so proud of their citizenship, they remodeled their entire town, their entire city, to look like a mini Rome. They designed their streets. They built their architecture just like Rome. They chose to take the language of Greek, and turn it aside and choose Latin to speak in daily life. They wore the Roman garments and dress. They, instead of their Grecian names, they chose Latin names. They loved being Roman citizens. You remember when Paul was at Philippi, when they were mistreating him and they had beat him without a trial and a cause? It was when he claimed his citizenship as a Roman that they stopped the beating, apologized personally, and put him in stocks and prepared for a trial, because that was his right as a citizen. Paul uses that connection and that personal pride, that part of him, that drive down deep, and he connects it to the Christian life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, he'll use that same word again. Philippians 3 verse 20, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're citizens of heaven, and our conduct of citizenship, what we say and what we do, should become the gospel of Christ. We use that term "become." We say that outfit is becoming on you. It matches. What we mean is it matches. It goes well. So our lifestyle should match the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme this year is that I may know him. Remember what Paul says to the Ephesians? "You have not so learned Christ." All of this hatred and bitterness and strife, you have not so learned Christ. That's not who Jesus is. And listen, if our lifestyle, if our conversation ought to be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the gospel is good news. We ought not be walking around like we live and believe in bad news. It's a gospel of love. It's a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of peace. It's a gospel of the holiness of God and the hope of salvation and eternal life. It ought to match it. Gandhi was asked once, what is the greatest hindrance to Christian missions in India? And Gandhi said, that's simple. Christians. I love their Christ, but I can't stand their Christians. Hey, may it never be said about us today. May we walk consistently. Paul says, whether I'm with you or without you, that I hear of your affairs. His words are like a parent who tells their child they're going out for a while, that they better behave. It's the words of a teacher who steps out of the classroom for a moment. Behave, whether I'm with you or away. If I hear about you, I want you to know that you're walking consistently, striving together for the faith of the gospel, or believers following Jesus Christ, living lives of holiness, living lives of love. Hey, listen, your testimony affects my testimony. My testimony affects your testimony. As you share Christ, as you speak for Christ. This morning, I was going to the Bojangles. I told my sons if they got up at a certain time, 8 o'clock, we would go down to the Bojangles there at on Lamb Road. And so I pulled in and saw it was like 37 cars in line. And I said, we're not going to the Bojangles. We're going to the BP. It's even better. Now the boys wanted to go to the BP. They wanted to go to Bojangles. I said, you could pick out a couple items. Get a free thing or whatever you want. Walked in and I wasn't excited about being at the BP. I got some water and I came here. That's about it. And so I was kind of grumbling a little bit, but God had an opportunity. There in line, as we stood there, of course, we're dressed for church. And she said, you going to church somewhere? I said, yeah. She said, I'm looking for a church. And I said, well, I know a pretty good one. I'm not sure about that preacher, though. He's a little crazy. Told her about Tabernacle, and she had heard about Tabernacle, heard where we were, invited her tonight, invited them both tonight. And I'm thankful she didn't say, well, I know someone from there. Praise God for your testimony. Tabernacle's got a good testimony in town. Went down to the Olive Garden last week. Half of the church was there at Olive Garden, half of the employees. Now, you got a great testimony there. You know, if you don't have a good testimony, don't leave the track. If you're not going to give a tip, leave a track for a different church. You're going to be rude. But no, if you're going to stand up for Jesus and you're going to share Jesus, live a life of hope, live a life of love and peace, your testimony. Walk consistently. No man is an island, John Donne said. We need each other. And I need you to live holy lives and righteous lives and loving lives. You need me, our church together. Praise God. We ought to live as he goes on to talk about holding forth the word of life, living blameless and without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among you, whom you shine as what? Lights in this world. If we say that I may know him and it's just an intellectual pursuit, but it never changes us, doesn't make any difference in the way we live our life, we're wasting our time. Because knowing him and making him known, knowing him should make a difference, because if you know Christ and really knew who he was, it would change the way we acted and reacted. Yeah. Paul says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Walk consistently. Number two, look at verse number 27. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Number one, walk consistently. Number two, work cooperatively. Paul addresses their spirit. This speaks of their unity. I think about it at Pentecost. They were in one accord, in prayer, in supplication, in that upper room for 10 days when the Holy Ghost came down and empowered them. They were in unity. We're told to have one spirit. The idea is that we have the right attitude one towards another, that we're praying together and praying one for another. Also to have understanding, be of one mind. It's important for us to pray with each other. It's important for us to pray one for another. It's important for us to be in God's word by ourselves. It's important for us to be in God's word with others. That's how we have the same spirit. That's how we have the same mind. We learn about Christ. We hear his word. And God changes us into his image. The command to stand fast in the text is a military term. Stako. Do you hear a term? a stakeout, like holding a position, to be at a post, not to budge. It refers to a soldier who will not budge from his post. We are to stand together. We're to hold fast to the gospel. We're to work and serve together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul continues this theme. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you first walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's walking consistently. With lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's what it means to walk consistently. And then it says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, listen, friend, we don't create unity. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with the ecumenical movement. We don't create unity where there is one, but we do keep the unity where there's one. Think about Lord Jesus when he prayed that they may be one. He's talking about those who knew the Lord and loved the Lord that were saved. Hey, listen, friend, anybody can be critical. Anybody can cause conflict. Anybody can strive against, but it takes character to cooperate and to keep the unity of the Spirit. Hey, especially those who are saved, the household of faith, those here in this local church, we're to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're going to see in chapter 2, the theme go on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. That's what Ephesians is saying. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Does that sound like you today? Does that sound like something that you're involved in? This is not an option. It's a command to unite together, to understand each other like an army moving forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He moves from a military analogy to an athletic analogy. Look at the text. Strive together. The phrase strive together is one word, soon athleto. You hear the word athletic in there. Soon, together, athleto, like a team, like an athletic team aiming for victory. And just like every team member is responsible for advancing the cause of the team to victory, every believer should be working cooperatively with other believers to advance the cause of Christ. We have the gospel. We have a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We can stake out our position. We can unite together. We can understand each other. And we can charge the gates of hell. And the Bible says the gates will not prevail against the church. So that means today we look around and say, who can I pray with? Who can I pray with and strive together in prayer? Oh, I think about the days of old when people would gather together for revival meetings and they would pray through and pray together until God showed up and God worked in the midst. I think about church meetings and all night prayer vigils. It wasn't just a clock in on an hour on Sunday morning. It wasn't just a little Lord's hour before we get lunch. It was a time of meeting God and seeking the things of God and striving together for the faith of the gospel. How in the world do we think we could spend hours on television all week, spend hours at work away from God, things of God, and then just kind of briefly say hi and shake hands in the fellowship time? We need one another to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Who can I pray with? Who can I stand with? Who can I serve with? Who can I share Jesus with? Be at your post. Get a stake out. Stake your position. Be at your post with your spiritual gifts. I love how people have applied the spiritual gifts messages. If you weren't here, go back and listen to them. They're needful because every one of us have a different gift. You have your place of ministry and service. Stake your post. Be at your post. Stake your post to be present and attending faithfully. Stake your post. Make a difference. That's why we have Men's United. That's why we have Ladies United. And let's not ever get into little schisms and isms. Let's not get into little cliques of this and that. Yes, we have our connect groups, and I praise God for connect groups. Yes, we have our different areas, but we need to be united as a church together corporately. We need to be united as men together corporately and ladies together corporately. I think about how Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, when you all gather in one place together, I think there's a trend today of moving into little house churches and moving to areas. They say, well, the early church had little prayer groups here, little prayer groups there. Yeah, because they had to, because persecution put them in groups. But when they could, they got together in the temple. And they magnify God, because guess what? Up in heaven, there's not going to be a little group of people in this area. There's not going to be a little group of those in your age group over here, and a little group of your friends over here, and a little Baptist group, and a little Methodist group, or this, that, and the other, whatever it may be. They're just going to be believers who know Jesus Christ together, worshiping the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We understand that doctrine divides, and we unite around truth of God's word. But there's somebody who knows God and loves God. I'm the companion of all them that fear thee. Christian, in the row in front of you, behind you, across the other A, is not your enemy. The church down the street, not our enemy. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to be at my post where God has called me. I want to stand my ground and stake my spot for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard how once at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, with Dr. Criswell, there was some contention in the church. So Dr. Criswell went in and installed, like, the, you know, the Catholic kneelers. He installed those in the back of every pew. And he said, until this gets right, we're all going to start the service off on our knees in prayer until we come to one mind and one spirit. You need to understand, praise God, today I'm not speaking this correctively, I'm speaking it preventatively. God has given us a church to unite together, but you understand that's the theme of the epistles. Over and over again, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, but the devil will try to divide and attack. The devil will try to cause contention, get you outside of church. Why? You ever seen National Geographic? Those lions don't go after the gazelles, they're in the front of the pack. Or in the middle of the pack. They go after the gazelle that falls a little bit further back. Falls out for a bit, upset the other gazelles. Because those the gazelles didn't comment on their dress that day. The lead gazelle didn't call him that week. No, the one in the middle of the back. The one that's going front and running with the crew are the ones that never get attacked.
That's right.
These aren't part of my notes today, but somebody needs to hear it. It's amazing what God can do with a church and community striving together.
Amen.
I read a book this past week from Paul Chappell. His publication ministry is called Striving Together Publications. It's the first message he preached at his church as a 26-year-old preacher there in Lancaster, California. I think they voted on him without him even candidating. He preached this message and has carried it forth as a theme in California. To see people saved in California. They've got In-N-Out. That's the only thing good they have out there. And they've got West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church now. But he said, if we can, California, win people for Jesus Christ. He knocked on 500 doors a week to tell people about Jesus. A little group of 12 went out. And if you go to Lancaster, it's a miracle. Lancaster's turned upside down. I believe they were number one in murders in L.A. County. It's turned around. I believe there wasn't even much on the list the last few years, but people are getting saved. God's doing a work, but they're striving together. He recommended a book called Once Upon a Time. No, rather, Once Upon a Town. I read this book this past week. It's a true story of a little town in Nebraska. 10 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor, word came to this little town in Nebraska, North Platte. There was going to be a company of soldiers from their town, Company B, for the National Guard to come to their city. The town decided they were going to go to the train station and welcome their young men with cakes and cookies. And they were coming from Company B from Nebraska, which would include the North Platte soldiers. But instead of Company B from Nebraska, Company D from Kansas came. And 500 people were there at the train station to greet a group of soldiers that they didn't recognize. And they didn't know. They stood there for just a moment. They didn't know what to do. And finally, a little girl walked up to one of the soldiers and said, here's a cookie I baked for you. Another one said, here's a sandwich my mama made for you. One by one, 500 people came to encourage those soldiers in the 10 minutes that they were there. At that moment, the town of 1200 decided they would turn a train station, that train station, into a canteen for the next 4.5 years. The people of North Platte, Nebraska made sandwiches, baked cakes, served goodies, wrote letters. 8,000 soldiers stopped in North Platte every day for 10-minute intervals. By the time the last train arrived in 1946, 6 million soldiers had stopped at that station for 10 minutes time. And they all left encouraged. One little unified town made a difference. Rob Green researched what they did and how they gave and how they got involved. No federal funding came to that town. Actually, $5 was sent from President Roosevelt when he heard about it because he was encouraged. Bob Green went and found some soldiers and asked them questions about their time in service. They asked them, they said, listen, whose command were you in? Some of them forgot the names. Many of them remembered. What division were you in? Some of them knew, some of them have forgotten. The final question he asked was, do you happen to remember a little town in North Platte, Nebraska? And he said, every single one of them remembered. 10 minutes. And they began to weep as they testified, as most of them teenagers. They came to town for 10 minutes, a town that loved them, helped them, gave them gifts, wrote them letters, cared for them, encouraged them to go on and do something for the country. One little town unified a one cause as citizens, encouraged our soldiers to battle. 40, 50, 60 years later, people, soldiers, wept as their lives were touched. I think about Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I praise God for the testimony up to this point. But let me tell you, friends, 30, 40, 50 years from now, the Lord tarrying, would there be people in Wilson, North Carolina? And you would ask them about Wilson, North Carolina. And you'd say, hey, were you from Wilson? Do you remember that barbecue place? Parker's? Yeah, I do. But you ever heard of that place called Tabernacle? Community Kids Church? Do you remember that Easter extravaganza and the Wild Game Supper? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Thousands of men, women, boys, and girls, adults now would say that was where those people loved me. I rode the vans to that church. I came to the special services of that church. They helped me in a hard time. They cared for me. I showed up for a service and they asked my name and they spent time with me and they prayed for me. They helped my life get back together. They took me to a Bible and showed me from the Word of God that there's a heaven and hell. Introduced me to Jesus Christ. If a little town in Nebraska could encourage, a town of 1,200 could encourage 6 million people in 4.5 years, would to God that He would touch this church to make a difference in our community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is calling us together today to stand, to serve, to soul win, to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Text closes with a challenge to war courageously. To war courageously. To speak up and stand up for Jesus Christ, no matter what. And nothing terrified by your adversaries. When you stand for Jesus and you share Jesus with love, no matter what, it's a sign to those that are against you, hey, this nothing can bother this one. It's a sign of perdition, but for you it's salvation. The phrase is the illustrations of an amphitheater of up or down that the emperor would look. You don't look at the crowd, you look at the emperor, the one seated on the throne. And we're not looking for the crowd and their applause and their attention and their deliverance. We're looking to the one seated upon the throne and his thumbs up. Keep serving. Keep standing. War courageously. Serve God no matter what. Endure suffering if you have to and persecution and pain. He says, emulate me even. He said, I'm in prison. What you see, the conflict in me, that's going to be in you. All those that will look godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. Where does that put you? John Wesley, that Methodist circuit riding preacher, was preaching and traveling and he came under conviction as he was riding his horse that for 3 days, he said, these past 3 days, I've received no persecution. He says, something must be wrong. Maybe I'm not speaking for Christ enough. I'm not being bold enough. I'm trying to get along with the world and not really standing up for Jesus. And he said, he got off his horse and he got on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me for my compromise with the world. We don't have this mentality at all today. He says, you have said all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, Lord, I repent. And as he was praying, somebody recognized him for a meeting picked up a rock, threw it at him. It hit him on his back. And he said, "Thank you, Jesus. I've been counted worthy." Scripture reading that we cut out was from Noel in Acts chapter 5. When they were persecuted and beaten in the temple, they walked right back in like the Energizer Bunny, kept on going. And guess what? They praised him for God counting them worthy to suffer shame for his name. And you wonder why the early church turned the world upside down. You wonder why a little town, North Platte, Nebraska, could make a difference in the lives of 6 million soldiers. And you wonder why sometimes here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, it feels like you go through the motions. We do the same things. We talk to the same people. We pray with the same people. We serve the same people. We eat the same people. We don't even know anybody that's lost. We're not sharing the gospel. We're not talking to our neighbors. We're not giving the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. We're not passing out a tract. We're not even going to come to the well game supper. Well, I am. Or talk to a guest. In the Chinese church this morning, is underground, in house churches, in fear of somebody from the national state in there to report them to be taken off to prisons. In North Korea, there are Christians imprisoned in camp, executed today for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people in Saudi Arabia, Christians, who have been beheaded today. We sit here in our nice padded chairs. Can I challenge you this morning to strive together for the faith of the gospel? Get over, build a bridge and get over it. Whatever you're going on in your life against somebody else, build a bridge and get over it. Jesus is coming. It's time to get right. Let's endeavor to keep the gospel. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the gospel, please. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray together. Let's serve God together. Let's make a difference for the cause of Christ. I want to know him. I've not so learned him. He had 3.5 years, Lord Jesus Christ, 3.5 years. And he preached and he healed and he taught and he won people with the gospel. And he made a difference in the lives of others. He influenced 12 men to turn the world upside down. Listen, friend, our time is short. If Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, we still have a lifetime. How do you choose joy? I'll tell you how you don't choose joy. Get mad at people, get upset, get even, grumble, complain. You'll ruin your day and everybody else around you. Here's how to choose joy. Choose with your mind to strive together for the faith of the gospel.